decision on whether to supply Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine or sell them to NATO and let them sell them to Ukraine?
Yeah, I've sort of made a decision, pretty much, if you consider. Yeah, I think I want to find out what they're doing with them.
Yes.
You know, where are they sending them, I guess? I'd have to ask that question. That war should never have started.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 7th, coming to you from Moscow. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Trump and the Tomahawk missiles. So U.S. President Trump was taking questions from reporters in the Oval Office, and one journalist asked Trump about the Tomahawk missiles and if he had made a decision about sending Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine or if he's going to sell Tomahawk missiles to NATO and then NATO's going to sell those missiles to Ukraine. And Trump's response to the reporter is that he has pretty much made a decision on the Tomahawk missiles, but he also said that he has some questions left before he makes his final decision. He wants to ask where the missiles are going and what they're going to be used for. That is what Trump told the reporter. One sec. I want to find out what they're doing with them. And where they're sending them, I guess. I want to find out what they're doing with them, the Tomahawk missiles, and where they're sending them, I guess. So once he gets those questions answered by NATO CEO Mark Rutte, then he's going to make his final decision on the Tomahawk missiles. is this how these things go down, really? The Tomahawk missiles that need U.S. military and U.S. targeting to be fired. This is how Trump is going to make his decision. I'm going to sell these missiles to NATO, but before I sell the missiles to NATO, I need to ask Rutte where they're going to ultimately end up and what they're going to do with these missiles. Really, Trump, is this what you're trying to tell us? Okay, yeah, I buy that. I buy that that statement from Trump. I believe it. I believe that before Trump makes the final decision on Tomahawk missiles, he's going to call Mark Rutte and just ask him a couple of questions. Before I sell you these Tomahawk missiles, Mark, can you just tell me what you're going to ultimately do with these Tomahawk missiles? Are you going to sell them to Ukraine? Are you going to give them to Ukraine? And are you going to allow Ukraine to fire those missiles into Russia, into pre-2014 Russia deep strikes into the Russian Federation? Is that what the plan is, Mark? Mr. President, yeah, that's the plan. Okay, thank you, Mark. I'm going to make my final decision in the next couple of days. Yeah, that's how these things get done, right? Nonsense, man. Absolute nonsense. I can't imagine anyone is buying that statement from Trump. So obviously he's made a decision on the Tomahawks. He's either trying to BS his way out of a decision where he has decided not to send the Tomahawks. That's why he comes up with a statement like the one that he made, or he has made a decision to give the Tomahawks to Ukraine and he's trying to muddy the waters, right? That's the only way you can explain that statement from Trump. One of the two, either he's given the missiles and he's trying to muddy the waters, or he's not going to give the missiles and he's trying to play dumb, right? I need to call Mark Rutte and just ask a couple of questions, okay? He also said in the statement that he's not trying to escalate, right? I'm not trying to escalate things. And then he went on to say the war would have never happened if I was president and all the other stuff that he usually says. So that was his statement about the Tomahawk missiles. Keep in mind that Russian President Vladimir Putin has now said twice, once at Valdai and once speaking to Pavel Zarubin, the Kremlin reporter, that Tomahawk missiles going to Ukraine and fired into Russia would be, without a doubt, the United States launching missiles into the Russian Federation, because the Tomahawks, they have to be fired by the U.S. military, and they need U.S. military targeting and all of those other things. So Putin said that this would be a huge escalation, and this would destroy any progress that has been made between the United States and Russia in the talks that they have been having and the diplomacy that has been taking place, if you want to call it that, and the meeting in Alaska and all of that stuff. Putin said that the Tomahawks would be the effective end of the talks and the negotiations that have been taking place between the United States and Russia. So Putin has issued two warnings about the Tomahawks. Trump is either playing dumb or he's trying to confuse everybody. The Tomahawks are either going to end up in Ukraine or not, and we'll probably find out when and if those Tomahawks are fired, or if they're never fired. We'll find out exactly what the final decision has been. But long-range missiles are going to go to Ukraine. I think that's the general analysis conclusion to this entire saga, whether they're Tomahawks or whether they're Taurus missiles or whether they're something else. Long-range missiles are going to be used by the collective West, by NATO, to try and strike energy facilities deep inside of Russia. And that in and of itself is going to be a huge escalation. So that was what Trump said to the question about Tomahawks. He also took a question about Ghislaine Maxwell. That was a weird exchange. So Maxwell's appeal was rejected. So she's trying to get out of jail, and the appeal was rejected by a court. And Trump was asked about this, and once again he was playing dumb, man. He was playing dumb. He's like, Ghislaine Maxwell, who? I haven't heard that name. He said, I haven't heard that name in a long time. Oh, really? Is that what happened? A court rejected her appeal? Okay, he said. I'm going to have to ask the DOJ about that. That was his response to the question about Ghislaine Maxwell.
Say it.
The Supreme Court is back and said that they rejected today an appeal by Ghislaine Maxwell to overturn her conviction. That means her only chance of getting out of prison is a pardon from you. Is that something you're...
Who are we talking about?
Ghislaine Maxwell.
You know, I haven't heard the name in so long. I can say this, that I'd have to take a look at it. I would have to take a look. Did they reject that?
She wanted to appeal her conviction.
And what happened?
They said that they were not going to hear her appeal.
I see. Well, I'll take a look at it. I will speak to the DOJ. I wouldn't consider it or not consider it. I don't know anything about it. I will speak to the DOJ.
Why would she be a candidate for clemency, sir?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to speak to the DOJ. I'll look at it. I have a lot of people who have asked me for pardons. I call him Puff Daddy, has asked me for a pardon.
But she was convicted of child sex trafficking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to take a look at it. I have to ask DOJ. I didn't know they rejected it. I didn't know she was even asking for it, frankly.
He was also asked about Venezuela. We're getting some news about what's going on with Venezuela. And it does look like the Trump administration has decided to break off any and all diplomacy that has been taking place with Venezuela and Maduro. Grinnell was actually in some talks with Maduro, and the reports are that Grinnell was trying to negotiate some sort of a Maduro exit to prevent some sort of U.S. military operation in Venezuela, and it looks like those talks are going nowhere. Or have gone nowhere. The Trump White House has said that they're very frustrated with the progress of the talks between Grinnell and Maduro. Sounds familiar? Trump White House is frustrated with the talks. It's the same messaging that we're getting from the Trump White House, or that we have gotten from the Trump White House, with the talks that have been going on with Putin, right? Trump is very frustrated. Anyway, they put out the same message with regards to Venezuela. Trump is very frustrated with things, and they have made a decision now to break off all diplomacy with Venezuela. And the reports are, according to the New York Times, that this could pave the way for some sort of a regime change, a forced regime change of Nicolas Maduro. The New York Times said the U.S. president had grown frustrated that Maduro would not voluntarily relinquish power, and the Venezuelan officials continued to deny involvement in drug trafficking. The paper reported that officials have described multiple military options for escalation, which could also include plans designed to force Maduro from power, according to the New York Times, before diplomatic channels were severed. Grinnell was trying to make a deal that would avoid a larger conflict and give American companies access to Venezuelan oil. However, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio found the efforts unhelpful and creating confusion. Right. The U.S. was basically telling Maduro to step down and to hand over Venezuela to the United States and to big oil. It's all about the oil. And it looks like Maduro was saying no chance. And so Trump grew frustrated. Rubio grew frustrated. And now it looks like they are going to move forward with the regime change military operation option when it comes to Venezuela. So let's shift gears and talk about Germany and the BlackRock Merz administration, which is now saying that the retirement age in Germany has to increase to 73 years old. Germany's pension and social security system on the verge of collapse. Germany has proposed raising the retirement age to 73 to prevent the collapse of the pension system. As per Reuters, Merz said that Germany can't afford the current social security system and that people will need to pay more from their income. People will need to pay more from their income because Germany, for some reason, cannot afford the social security system, while at the very same time, the German government, the BlackRock Merz administration, is sending billions and billions of euros to Project Ukraine and to the Zelensky regime and to the military industrial complex as well. So for these things, BlackRock Merz has more than enough money, right? He's even ready to take loans to get the funds needed to give to the MIC and to give to Zelensky and Project Ukraine. But when it comes to the social security system and to pensions, no money. No money for that stuff. According to BlackRock Merz, here's a post from Lord Bibo, which says Germany in one picture. And you have one article from Bild with the title Pension Boom. Germans should work until 73. And right underneath that, it says Klingbeil promises Ukraine billions more. That's the message. Ukraine will be getting billions and billions more. Nothing's going to stop the money from going to Project Ukraine and going to the weapons manufacturers. But for pensions, nope. We have no money, man. We have no money, says BlackRock Merz. We have no money. German citizens will need to pay more from their income. And keep in mind that Kaya Kallas yesterday said that all EU citizens, if we don't get the 140 billion in Russian frozen assets to give over to Project Ukraine, then Kaya Kallas said yesterday that that EU citizens, that includes Germans, are going to have to pay for this from their taxes. So that's the messaging coming out of Germany. That's the messaging coming out of Europe. Whatever money they have, whatever money they can get, will be prioritized for war and for Project Ukraine. Everything else You're going to have to pay for that from your income, and we're going to tax you more. We're going to tax you more, and you're going to have to reach into your pockets, EU citizens. So, Macron, an update on the lame duck known as Emmanuel Macron. That is what the UK Times is calling him. Macron is a lame duck running out of options. And so we had a bit of a twist from the saga, the crisis playing out in France, from Prime Minister Le Carnu's resignation. 27 days in office and Le Carnu resigned, and this caused all kinds of turmoil and headaches for Emmanuel Macron and for France. And Le Pen and the opposition parties, they are calling for elections. They want parliamentary elections right away. Le Pen said that Macron has run out of road. He has no more options. Macron, what he is trying to do is he is trying to buy some time. A day or two is what Macron is trying to get. Understanding that if parliamentary elections were to be held, National Rally and Le Pen would most likely win those elections. And he's trying to avoid having to call parliamentary elections, but he does not have many options. I don't think he has any options. But what Macron has decided to do is he has decided to try and buy two more days. And so he can figure things out. Macron is going to try to figure a way out of this. Good luck with that, Macron. He asked Le Carnu to stay on as prime minister at least until Wednesday and to try and work out some sort of a solution with the government. And Le Carnu said, okay, I'll stay on until Wednesday, and I will continue to try and have talks with the opposition parties and try to get some stability in the French government, in your administration, Macron. But it's all about Macron trying to buy even a precious day or two so he can try to figure out a way to avoid having to call elections in France. Even the super pro Politico, pro EU globalist Politico, is calling this whole thing, what is playing out in France, a farce. They're calling it a French farce. Macron accepts PM's resignation, then tasks him with emergency talks. Macron has no good cards left and appears to be playing for time as France's political and economic crisis escalates. The opposition parties, by the way, when they heard of Macron's plan to try and get another day or two by having Le Carnu stay on until Wednesday and try to figure out a way out of this crisis and a way to avoid elections, the opposition parties, they said no way. They said, no way, we are done with this administration, Macron. We want elections now. And we're not only talking about Le Pen's party, we're talking about pretty much all the opposition parties in France. They are not going to give Macron any space to try and get out of this mess. Let's move on. They are just trying to buy time. It's ridiculous. It's melodrama. Let's stop this, said Green lawmaker Sandrine Rousseau. Trust is broken, said Agnès Evren, a senator and spokesperson for the conservatives, Les Républicains, a party that had been part of Le Carnu's government. So you're probably asking yourself, with all of this going on in France and Macron's meltdown, you're probably asking yourself, what does Dmitry Medvedev have to say about all of this? Well, you asked, and I shall deliver. Here is what Medvedev posted on Macron's meltdown. Record. France's government lasted 14 hours because France has no president. Just Kiev's brilliant advocate, Germany and Britain's buddy, Africa's chatty arbiter. But Macron doesn't care about France. Even our Cossacks, horses entering Paris in 1814 would do his job better. That was what Medvedev had to say about Macron's trouble. Alenskiy curse. Yeah, this is an Alenskiy curse. No doubt about it. Lekarnu, he did shake Alenskiy's hand. He did meet with Alenskiy. He actually traveled to Kiev. He took the train, the midnight train going anywhere to Kiev. And he met with Lekarnu, met with the Green Goblin, shook his hand. And this is without a doubt an Alenskiy curse moment. The Alenskiy curse is undefeated, man. Undefeated. And this is a big Alenskiy curse. Lekarnu is a big Alenskiy curse. And perhaps the takedown of Macron's government is a massive Alenskiy curse. So anyway, that's an update on France. And sticking with the European Union, Viktor Orban, he came out with a statement yesterday and he said that Hungary will not be looking to get the euro currency, which is required by countries in the European Union. When you enter the European Union, it is understood, it is required that you are eventually going to get rid of your own currency and to adopt the terrible euro. Just look at Bulgaria. Croatia took on the euro, and now Bulgaria is going to adopt the euro by January or February 2026. Very bad move. But yeah, you're required to eventually adopt the euro. But Orban, he came out with a statement yesterday, and he said, no, actually the only country that has an opt-out when they were negotiating their entry into the European Union, they actually got an opt-out from the euro, is Denmark. Every other country has to adopt the euro. But Orban said, no, Hungary is not looking to take on the euro. And his reasoning for this is because the European Union is disintegrating. He said the EU is disintegrating. He actually said the EU is falling apart, and he does not want to tie Hungary further to a union, to a bloc that is disintegrating and is falling apart. Very, very smart move from Viktor Orban. By the way, the Green Goblin, Alenskiy, he was speaking to the media yesterday, and Alenskiy said that Ukraine is going to enter the European Union with or without Orban. With or without Orban. Alenskiy can live with or without Orban. Yeah, he said it doesn't matter what Hungary says about Ukraine entering the European Union. Hungary can veto Ukraine's accession into the EU all they want. But according to Alenskiy, Ukraine is going to enter the European Union. I can't live with or without Orban, said Alenskiy. All right, so gold hit historic highs. $4,000, man, for the first time in history, gold is now worth $27 trillion. Amazing, absolutely amazing. Bitcoin also hit a historic high. I think $124,000. Dollars, Bitcoin, all-time highs. Bitcoin, all-time highs for gold. What is this signaling? What is $4,000 gold signaling? Well, here is a post for Arnaud Bertrand to summarize, to explain what might be going on. And here is what he posted on X. I was studying other times in history when gold prices more than doubled in the reserve currency of the time, as they did in the past year. It's rare and almost always a sign of profound loss of confidence in the existing monetary and political order. Going all the way back to the Roman Empire, the so-called crisis of the 3rd century, and it often marked the transition from one era of power to the next, the fall of Rome, Spain's decline from world power, the French Revolution and terror, the end of Bretton Woods, etc. Interestingly, it's often actually as much a cause as a sign of these episodes, as this is effectively a transfer of real wealth from the poor to the rich elites who protect themselves with gold. This being what ignites the political upheaval. The weird aspect of the current episode is the relative silence around it. We're witnessing what may be one of the great pivotal moments in financial history, yet it's being barely discussed. The rich elites who protect themselves with gold. A historic transition in the world that is taking place. The unipolar world to the multipolar world. The loss of confidence in the reserve currency. Excellent post from our node, Bertrand. So let's do a couple of clown worlds and we can wrap up this video update on this rainy day. And before we get to our clown world, I forgot, Alex McFly. Before we get to our clown world, well, two things. Like the video. Give this video a like. That would really, really help me out a whole lot. And that would help short-circuit the YouTube algorithms. So if it's no trouble, give this video a like. And before we get to our clown worlds, we have to do our daily drone segment. drone segment. I need some music. Someone needs to send me some music to segue into our daily drone update. drone update. That's right. This is becoming a daily segment, very much like Clown World. So in today's drone update, we have the German economy minister demanding air sovereignty. That's right, the German economy minister, Katharina Reich, she is demanding that Germany become the leader in manufacturing drones in order to gain drone superiority and drone sovereignty. Yep, the German economy minister said Germany must become a leading location for the development and production of drones. Reich told DPA on Monday, citing the need to uphold the nation's air sovereignty, protect critical infrastructure, and of course, aid Project Ukraine. She also pointed to recent drone sightings in several European nations that were blamed on Russia and said that the events of the last few days made the need for Germany's own drone army unmistakably clear. Germany must mobilize all available resources to achieve rapid scaling of production and continuous technological development, she added, stating that Europe's security will be decided in German factories. Europe's security will be decided in German factories. I don't want Europe's security decided in German factories. No, thank you. But yeah, let's pour all of Germany's resources into manufacturing drones. 73-year-old retirement age. Yep. No money for pensions. But all the resources into the MIC so Germany can get air sovereignty and become the military power, the military leader in drones. That is according to the economy minister. So this has been your daily drone update, brought to you by the Alex Cristoforu channel. Let's now go into a clown world, a couple of clown worlds. So Ursula, she's about to undergo, I believe on Thursday, we're going to have two no confidence votes for Ursula, one from the left of the EU Parliament, one from the right of the EU Parliament. They're very upset with Ursula's stance with Gaza, basically that she has done nothing. The European Union has done nothing to help the people in Palestine to stop the genocide or to to try and lift the blockade or anything. She hasn't done anything when it comes to Gaza, the European Union. So the left is calling a no-confidence vote because of that. The right is calling a no-confidence vote because of Ursula's missing text messages when it comes to the whole negotiating of the jabs with Pfizer, when she negotiated the jabs and the text messages with Birla that have disappeared. And also the text messages with her negotiations with South America, with Mercosur, that deal. The text messages that she doesn't want to disclose with that as well. Well, they disappear. So the text messages with Birla, those have disappeared, and the text messages with Mercosur, those are disappearing messages. So two different cases. In one case, the messages have gone missing, and in the other case, Ursula was sending automatically disappearing messages. Anyway, whatever. They're upset with Ursula's lack of transparency. So she's going to most likely come out of the confidence votes. She'll be okay and she'll remain as the commissioner. But yesterday she gave a speech and she talked about Putin's statements at Valdai. And she said that now more than ever, the EU needs to be unified behind Ursula's leadership, behind her leadership, because she claims that Putin is trying to break up the European Union. And she said that everyone needed to listen to Putin's statements at Valdai because Putin was actually blaming the European Union for provoking the conflict in Ukraine, or playing a role in the conflict and the escalation in Ukraine.
And look at what happened in Sochi just last week, where Putin gave his annual Valdai Club speech. We should listen very carefully to his words. He put the blame on Europe for his continued war of aggression in Ukraine. He crowed about what he coined as the cracks of the edifice of Europe and the shaken unity within our union. He's not hiding his contempt for our union and the foundation it is built on. And he is not hiding his glee and support for all of his obedient friends in Europe who are doing his work for him. This is the oldest trick in the book. Sow division, spread disinformation, create a scapegoat, all to turn Europeans against each other, to try to lower our guard while we fight each other, to weaken our resolve and our resilience. This is a trap, and we simply cannot fail for it.
So she said that in her speech. But anyway, the clown world is Ursula. She was speaking about AI first at another event, and AI first is the European Union's initiative, another initiative, a fund, a plan where the EU is going to pour a lot of money in creating AI first centers, right? AI first centers for doctors, for medicine, for various other things all across Europe, right? This is her AI first initiative. And I'll just play the video, because as she was talking about this, people in the audience were unimpressed. They were unimpressed. And there was one person clapping as she announced Europe's AI first initiative, followed by a creepy laugh from Ursula. So let me play you the video, and then we'll move on to our next and final clown world.
Next week, we are presenting an apply AI strategy. It is based on a simple yet transformative principle, and that is AI first. I think this is worth an applause. I heard the one and only person there. (Laughter) That was symbolic for the uptake of AI. One person starting, the rest following.
So that's Ursula talking about AI first. I don't know how she's going to pull off the EU's AI first initiative with such expensive energy. I don't know how that's going to work, because AI is super duper energy intensive, and Europe doesn't have any AI to begin with. They're way behind in the AI race. So anyway, I don't know how she's going to pull off the AI first policy, but I'm sure it's going to make for a very good fund to pour a lot of money into, which is something that Ursula does best. Anyway, the next clown world is Latvia and Lithuania announcing that they do not have the funds to take part in November's climate conference, COP30 or COP20 or whatever it is, which is going to take place in Brazil. And they are requesting to participate in this conference via Zoom video, because the price for hotels and for accommodation for the 10-day event could run into the price range of $500 per day per participant. And according to officials in Latvia and Lithuania, this money is just way over budget, and they're already in a financial squeeze, both countries, and so they're requesting for video participation. But money for Project Ukraine, they have. For Project Ukraine, they have the money. Lithuania said its delegation may stay away after being quoted prices for accommodation exceeding $500 per person per night. Latvia's climate minister, Kaspars Melnis, told the news agency that his country had asked conference organizers if its negotiators could join by video. We already basically have a decision that it's too expensive for us, he said. We have a responsibility to our country's budget. The two EU countries are facing widening budget deficits as defense and social costs surge. Latvia's 2025 deficit is projected at 3% of GDP, while Lithuania's shortfall is forecast at 2.3% of GDP, according to the IMF. So no money to attend a conference, but billions for weapons and for war and for Project Ukraine. That is the video, everybody. The Duran.locals.com. We are on Rumble and X and Telegram. And also go to Duran Shop, pick up some merch. It's starting to rain now. So I'm going to find somewhere to go and get out of this rain. And like the video and subscribe to the channel. And I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.